Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever, whenever you are. Thank you for coming back. It's been about a month since our last quick questions, so I thought we'd do another. It's a few topics, a few minutes for each one, things that can't maybe be in a whole 9 or 10 minute show. And for our first one, seems like it was a long time ago now, but in one of the early episodes, I mentioned a long CVS receipt. And it got some of you thinking.
Hey, Mike, this is Paula from Waukegan, Illinois. You asked if you should do a show on CVS receipts, and we think you should. Why are they so long?
Paula, I got you. We're going to find out. Listen to this.
Please remember to take your receipt. Thank you for shopping at CVS. Please remove all bags.
It will not stop.
Well, a friend of mine recently sent me an item on Amazon to take a look at, which was a winter scarf that looks like a CVS receipt. So I thought that was a really good one.
Deirdre Popovich, assistant professor of marketing, Texas Tech University. And first off, CVS knows exactly what they're doing here.
I think they get a lot of jokes. They get a lot of people commenting on how amusing it is. And also a long receipt like that with all the coupons attached kind of violates our expectations. It causes people to take a look at it, at least because we're surprised that we have this giant receipt and we don't know what else is on it other than our two purchases. I mean, even if we buy 100 items at Target or Walmart, we still don't get a receipt that long.
I mean, she's right. I still look because how can I not? The thing is half as tall as I am. And if you look, you know what's on there. It's coupons, one after another. You want the origin story? Well, one of the former CEOs has been quoted as saying this started years ago when they stopped doing printed circulars and printed coupons. You know, you walk into the store, you pick up the little booklet of deals, at least that's what you used to do, and they launched the loyalty program, tailoring your coupons on the receipts. And you probably could have guessed half of this because you see them there and you go, okay, this one is for the soap I buy. This one says come back by next Wednesday. This is all a scheme to get us back in the store. But I'm telling you the backstory to ground this in the idea that at a time, this was kind of novel when they started it. It was something new before it became a joke.
Right. I think a lot of us are either annoyed and or amused, but there is a segment of consumers who really love coupons, right? There are people who love to clip coupons and save money. And I'm sure for those people, it's like winning the lottery when the CVS receipt comes out of the corner.
So what we have is a win-win. Some people actually love it. The rest is free press because there's memes and TikTok videos. Did you see the guy who put it to the Star Wars music and it was like the opening credits crawl and he used the receipt going up and up and up? Some of you are saying wasteful. CVS says they've actually shortened them by like 20%. They've taken out harmful chemicals out of that paper and they've made them recyclable. So there you have it. Longest receipts in the industry because they want them that way. Now, part two. We are going for a walk because we're going shopping because we've got an interview or a party. A wedding. Somebody basically needs a tie, so we're going to go buy a tie. Jane Seidel sent in an email, asked about neckties. Why do so many men wear them in so many cultures? And we thought, yeah, why do they do that?
There's multiple reasons why the necktie came about.
That's Kevin Jones, the curator of the FIDM Museum at the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising in downtown LA.
Either for protection, you know, against the cold, to wick away perspiration when it's hot and muggy, for decoration, to signal to other people, you know, across a battlefield that, hey, I'm one of your guys, don't shoot me.
Kevin says there's no one origin story, just that everybody found a use for them. That's why it was cross-cultural. But if you want a story, the internet is going to point you to the 17th century. 30-year war, Croatian mercenaries with cloth around their necks. The King of France took a liking to how they tied them, to how that looked, and then one thing led to another. You have a whole bunch of people in France wearing something that looks like that. And it seems plausible.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, there were variations of the way someone would tie a tie according to where you were in society. You would have really, really fine linen that would have been bleached white, edged with extremely fine, extremely expensive lace. And then you could tell, like, oh, okay, this is a gentleman. But this isn't just like a lawyer gentleman. This is like an aristocrat.
And we can take that status symbol idea into more modern times. If you're wearing a tie, you're not working on any sort of equipment where the tie is going to get you sucked into that equipment.
That is spot on. And we're talking about the 19th century. The necktie as we know it today really formed.
And then we did what fashion does. Things go in, things go out. It's cyclical. Never throw anything away. Back in the 30s, skinny ties were big. In the 40s,
you see a bonanza of really bold ties. And the ties have gotten wide, too, because you want to show off these incredibly colorful patterns. But they also became short above your belly button. By the time you get into the 1950s, all of that's gone away.
And then his favorite, the kipper tie, K-I-P-P-E-R. This is your Google assignment because this thing is hilariously huge. This was like a 60s, 70s thing.
Yeah, it's massive. We have a couple of them in the museum's collection. And they're just great. I mean, it's like, really?
It sort of looks like what a clown would wear. Maybe we'll all be wearing them again someday. What is next for the tie?
Honestly, I don't want to kill the tie, but I really don't wear ties that often.
Is the tie on the way out?
They're not on the way out, but it's something that is not going to be so much the standard set fashion as it's going to be like, do I feel like wearing a tie or not today? So a lot of times it's tie option now.
Thank you, Kevin, for the fashion history. Last up, open the notebooks, class, because we are going to bring back a few more of those common phrases, the idioms, the origin stories from Quick Questions Volume 1, Jay Padgett.
I'm a professor at UC Santa Cruz.
Same disclaimers as before. We can't always be sure when we talk about these, but we're going to kick some around. And our first, actually, is kicking the tires, you know, testing something out. Did people actually used to kick tires on cars?
Yeah, that's what sources say, that in the early 20th century, when cars were new, it wasn't crazy to think that if you kicked the tire, it could pop because it was, you know, junk. And so then you would know not to drive it out of the lot.
I like that one because it's like it's a cartoon. And also, it's easy. Now, next is knock on wood. Somebody in the newsroom asked me this. Multiple stories here. One is a game of tag from a couple hundred years ago. You were safe when you were touching wood. They called it Tiggy Touchwood, which is kind of funny. Others go back way further than that. So spirits were in trees. That's what they thought. So you either knocked to thank them for the good fortune, or you knocked on the wall to get them out of your house so they didn't ruin your luck when you were about to say how fortunate you were. That kind of depends on whether you were pro or anti wood spirit. Next one is Steal My Thunder. And this apparently has an actual story.
Yeah, of course, that one means take credit for something or get the attention from somebody. This one, there seems to be some agreement about who this can be attributed to, which is pretty rare. But Steal Someone's Thunder is supposed to go back to a playwright named John Dennis, who lived in the 1600s and 1700s. And he supposedly invented, you know how you can take like a big sheet of tin and make the sound of thunder with that?
Yeah.
Well, he might have invented that. And he had some play where he had thunder and he used it. Apparently, the play didn't succeed very well and it ended pretty fast. And then soon after that, Macbeth was playing and somebody was using the same prop. And he said something like, hey, you know, they didn't let my play continue, but they're stealing my thunder.
That's great. Somebody's out there wiggling the thing backstage. That was my idea, he says.
We love stories. We love to put meaning into things.
Right.
And so we do that.
Thank you for sticking around for these stories today. Quick Questions Volume 2. There will be a Volume 3. I think we'll do these like every few weeks or month or whenever I get around to it. We have some more idioms. And if you want to hear more, I'll just call Jay back. So email me those. I've got questions at audacy.com, AUDACY. And email me some more topics, too. And we'll make full shows out of those. This comes from KNX News 97.1 FM in Los Angeles. Have a good rest of the week.